Okay.
So we're up to the Gemara, which Rashi and Rambam seem to learn differently. Okay, the Pasuk says, and if, close, without any hatred, he pushed him, or he threw something on him without any planning, then he ends up going to Galus. So it says, if you push him, right, below Eva, without any hatred, you push him, so the Gemara says, Shadachava begufa. What does Hadafo mean? It means you push him with your body. Your body, your arm, your body, whatever. So it's telling you, simple Shadachava Gemara, it's telling you that you go to Galus. And Rashi says, below Misgavin, below Kavana. Right, that's what Rashi says. Which means that when it's saying is you go to Galus, it's only if you do below Kavana, without intent. Right, if you push him intentionally, apparently Rashi's trying to say, don't know that, not. But the Pasuk is telling you, if you push him unintentionally, Adafo is teaching you to go to Galus. Right? So apparently I would think, within Rashi, I would think that you wouldn't go to Galus. Right? Kamash Malan, teaching you, no, you do. So maybe we should just, before we deal with the Rambam, it's harder to read, and let's explain, what's the Limud? According to Rashi, why would I think not? And what's the Svara? Yeah. So the question is, why would I think that you don't go to Galus? Right? What would I have thought? Would I have thought that it's Mezid? Karav Mezid? Would I have thought Karav Anas? Not clear. And it's funny, the Ritva said it's teaching you that it's not Mezid nor is it Anas. It's like both. It's funny, you know? But I mean, so I guess you'd go either way in theory. But I mean, that's part of the question is what's. For some reason I would have thought that you don't go to Galus. You accidentally push it with your body? Crush one, you do. So what would you say? Yeah, okay, so I'm saying methodology point is that oftentimes you can have a svara where you have facts and you could come up with a chakira which applies to the facts. Right? Like here, are there levels of meshogeg? Or not. And yeah, that you could kind of apply that to this case. But I think but that could apply to a lot of cases. I mean, it's just a very, very general question. There's nothing about these facts which indicate that it's that general question. So I think in general, the idea in Svara, as best as possible, is to let the case direct you towards the idea, as opposed to free associating to a random chakira and that which happens to fit into the facts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the case, if you're free to a random chakira, it fits into the facts. It's more like you think about the area. What questions could I raise in the area? And you try to come up with one which will apply here. So then it's like it's a very speculative type of thing, and you're all like you. It's like it's nothing about the facts. Which it's almost like it just happens to work out. But the fact that there could have been a lot of chakiras, and that chakira could apply to a lot of things. So the better svara is the svara where, and the line isn't always clear, but where the svara emerges directly from the facts. Like the problem at hand directly points to the svara, you know, in a particular way. And therefore the svara in general should be more tailored to the particular svara at hand, as opposed to just, you know, trying to come up with some chakira out there. Very general and stuff it into, you know what I mean? So it's a little tricky because I think normally when you start learning, it's like, I think more often than not, you have certain svara. This is when you really start learning. You have certain, like, svara categories in your head, like Chafta Gavra, Kiyamaisa, and like you kind of try to sit back and think which category could I use here? Which is the way you start off learning. That is no, you know, it's kind of the way things work. It's just the way it is. But I think you want to develop towards not thinking of svaras and then seeing if they fit, rather letting the facts lead you to a svara.
Take the route that's already created.
Yeah, right. The facts should indicate. Questions in the area should lead you towards, you know, towards a chakira.
Like the
svara should emerge.
The other way, it's kind of like just always general and doesn't really...
Yeah, right. The other way, it's like you're guessing. Uh-huh. Maybe I could guess the right svara. Let's make a guess and then see if it works out. Oh, yeah, look at that. It works out, you know? It would be like, almost like, maybe this would be a good example, is like when if you give a kid an algebra problem, 2x plus 7 equals 13. So he'll just try it out. Well, 1. 2x, 2 times 1 plus 7, 13. Nah. Oh, I have to go higher, 2. No, that doesn't work out, 3, you know? So it's like he's guessing a solution and then seeing if it works. And then he adjusts it, and, you know, trial and error, he adjusts it as, you know, is it too high, too low? It's like adjusting it. As opposed to, like, I guess the more advanced method of solving a problem is to take the problem, subtract 7, you know, isolate the x, and, you know, it's like you're actually using the problem, and the problem is, you know, you're going directly from the problem to the solution. You know, it's not just like guessing a solution and seeing if it fits. So you're much more likely to get a solution if the facts, if the problem is leading you towards the solution than if you're just kind of guessing and seeing if it fits. Because at least there, the numbers, you know, you're much more limited in your numbers, you know, in theory. But like when you're dealing with a svara, like your guesses could just be anything, you know? And it's kind of easy to, especially if you guess, if you make up svaras which are general enough, you could usually stuff it in, you know? But that's a stuff job. You know, so again, I think it's hard to avoid that, especially as you know, when you start learning. But I think it's a process of learning how to learn is a process of learning how to let the facts talk to you, and to let the you know, not just to sit back and ponder hakiras. It's like a kind of a joke, you know, like when I do this and I do this sugya, new sugya. It usually happens when you do a new sugya. It's like you do an area. You come up with a focus and you define it. And you just realize that it's almost like any facts in the area you would do, it's like the first machlokas in the area, you're always going to like give the same svara. It's just like, you know, just like you always, there's like a natural hakira and shutfas. Let's say shutfas, I don't know. Is shutfim like individual gavras who are related to each other, or is there a new gavra of shutfim? I don't know, it's like a, you know, some slider, like general hakira. It's like almost every time you do a sugya, which happens in Mal Shutfin, that's going to be your svara. But that's like, it's just like kind of you do a shutfin, you think, oh, what do I think? Could I randomly associate, what could I think of a hakira and shutfin?
Like you put everything together that you know about it.
Yeah, like you just kind of think of a hakira in the area and then just stuff it into there. But that's not really going from the facts to a svara, that's just kind of, you know, just seeing what you could think of free associating to svara. But if it's almost like you start the sugya, if wherever facts you're doing, you're going to just give that hakira and stuff it in, maybe that's not really illegitimate. Do the facts actually point you to that, or is it just that if you clear the hakira, then and one side happens to go this way, and the other side happens to go that way, then it will work. But that's not necessarily the svara indicated by the facts. It's just like, you know, maybe the hakira is really more particular, and it doesn't really matter which way you go on that question, you know?
Yeah, I look at my phone.
Maybe. Shutfim is like partnership, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, that, this kind of thing. It's like, you could just say, well, we were wondering about shogi and ano, so you're saying, if I push on their body, is it shogi? They say, well, it is shogi. And I think this kind of happened a few times ago, you know, you kind of just, it's a new area, and we kind of just try to think, well, what svara could I have about shogi? Oh, maybe shogi is this, maybe shogi is that. Oh, look at that, it works out. Yeah, but that same exact like here could work out for every single case, but the Gemara has 10 cases in a row. Well, this limud excludes the corner, and it excludes if you push him, and it excludes if you're going up, and it excludes if you're going down, it excludes all these different cases. So they can't all be the same Chakira. So you gotta kind of real, you gotta, can't be just think, taking a step back and just thinking, what do I think about Shogi? So you have to kind of zero in on the case at hand, right? And make your Svara emerge from the facts at hand. You know, it's an important point. It's not so easy, but I think you always want to after the fact, after you give a svara, think, is it that it works? Like if your svara, basically, if then we say, oh yeah, that works. That's not a good svara. If your comment is that works, it's not that works. It's like you want that to be indicated by the problem. And the problem almost the best svara is where the problem forces you to say that. You know, the facts force you into that svara. That's obviously it's in a high expectation. You know, you're not all svaras are gonna be that good. But in theory, that's the goal. That's the model where the facts push you into that svara. good steps from the facts push you into that svara. That's what you're looking for. It's like mukhrah, as far as like it's forced. Facts and good methodology and good questioning could force you toward a particular svara. Or as much, as close to that as you could get. That's like a goal. And as close as your svara is to that, I'd say the better the svara. You know? But as opposed to the opposite extreme, if you're just kind of making up a svara, just seeing if it fits. I wonder if Chavtza Gavra fits here. Oh yeah, I guess that's like a Chavtza, and that's like a Gavra. Yeah, Chavtza Gavra. But that's not, where are you coming up with that from? And then you're just like trying to guess the right answer. It's like, what are the odds that that's really, you know, you're just coming in with trying to clarify Kira. So again, it's hard, sometimes it's hard to do otherwise, especially, you know, the more advanced you are, I think the more you could kind of use the facts to lead you towards solutions. So especially when you get started, you don't know how to do that exactly. You just kind of have to just sit back and try to associate the stars. But that's not, you know, there's a mix of that. I mean, look, to some extent, that's just the way your mind works. But I'd say as best as possible, try. That's what good questions are for. Questions lead you towards facts, as opposed to just sitting back and associating. Problems lead you, force you into questioning your assumptions and into taking steps to answering the questions, which are sometimes the only way to answer questions. The question shows you can't learn this way. You have to learn differently. Because the question is strong. The only way to get out of the question is to say, knock off a premise, and then you end up in a position. And then, you know, so that's how sometimes you can use the facts to push you towards the svara. It's a foreign point of methodology. So in this case, the facts are if you push him with your body, right? Hopefully this will be a good example to illustrate my point. But I know that it's a good example to, and then your svara, it illustrates what not to do. But
yeah.
I will see if hopefully my svara will indicate what to do. Well, maybe it'll be all. But in other words, you push him with your body by accident. So I guess it means what? You're walking and you smash into him and you knock him down and he dies. Right? So you would think that you don't go to Galus, Kamash Malon, you do.
Right?
The thing which is annoying about the problem is you don't know whether what you would think it's Karbal Mezer or Karbal Anus. That's like a little bit annoying. You kind of have to take a stand and go one way. So you have to kind of have to let your mind, there's no fact given to us. And the only one who talks about it, the Ritva, he kind of says both.
But isn't that like a huge factor?
Like, yeah, it is. Which one is it?
But I'm saying, if you say Karbal Mezer and you see Karbal Anus, wouldn't that be like
svara.
A...
Yeah,
a
world of different svara.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to even believe how the Ritva could say, it's teaching you that it's not either of those. I mean, it sounds like, well...
Yeah.
I know. So I guess you have to just let your mind go and see if you could think of a svara. What about pushing in with your body would be not shogeg? It sounds like you said, it sounds like a shogeg. I'm walking and whoops, boing. Right? Why? In what sense? What would be an argument to say that that's either Karbal Mezer or Karbal Anus? I guess, you know, given that we don't know the fact, so you kind of have to try to feel out that case. What do you think about that case? That case itself. Not just what do you think about shogeg, but what would you think about that case? How is that case different than a different case of where you're lowering a bucket and it happens to drop it and it falls? You know, it slips out of your hands or something, or the rope breaks and it falls. Like, what's special about that case that would lend you to thinking that it's, you know... Like, for instance, the case where you're going around the corner, or the case, you know, in the corner, there's, like, no reaction time or whatever. Like, you know, to, like, hone in on what's unique about that case. And it's teaching you something about that, you know. It doesn't have to be only that case, limited exclusively to that case. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but at least it should be something particular. So yeah, methodology. I mean, how do you think about it? I mean, the way I would think about it is, like, imagine that happening. And what would be your reaction? Guy smashes into your relative or something and kills him. Would you relate to that case? In your mind, if you just imagine the case, would you relate to that different than if a guy is chopping wood and you know, or lowering a bucket and drops it and kills it? Right? Feel. How do you feel about that case? You know, I mean, what do you think about the case? What would be your reaction if such a thing happened? And the guy says, "Oh, it was an accident." Now, would your reaction be, "No, that was kind of amazing, you jerk," or would it be, "That's"? Total accident, right? Total honor. So would either of those be appropriate to think? And that would be the Hamina, you know? But I think what Yonah, I think what Avi's saying, and then how Yonah worded it, I think is good, is that you would think that, like Avi, you're saying, it's like you're aware of your body, your body is your body. And if you kill with your body, so that's like more negligent. Like your kli is already distant from you. So your body, you got to have a much more greater awareness of your body. And as Yonah says, is you'd think there's a greater chi of shmirah on your body. Because your body is you, right? So it's like you have a greater responsibility for what your body does. There's a certain distance between you and your kalim, your bucket and your whatever, and you have less control and less, you know, less ability to be aware. Your kalim, your bucket doesn't have eyes and ears and a nose or whatever, so it's like a distance between you and your kalim, and therefore you're careful, but there's only so much you can do. But when it comes to your body itself, you'd argue that there's a greater din of shmirah, and if your body ends up killing, that's kavod mezid, because you should have been careful. How do you let your body do that? It's one thing you're kli, but your body is a different type of an obligation of carefulness. And if you end up, your body ends up killing, so you can't just treat that like another weapon. Your body isn't just a weapon. Your body is your body. And you have a greater chiyuv shmir on your body. And therefore you'd say that's kavod mezid. Kamash malon. No. Shidach lo begufo. Adafo. The lashon of the pasuk adafo means you push him with your butt. You push him. So apparently it's saying is that your body could be just another weapon. And you don't say that. You could view your body as a weapon, and I killed him with my body. I was walking, and I killed him with my body. And you don't say that halacha differentiates between the shmirah on your body versus the shmirah nefesh regarding your body or regarding your weapon. They're not that difference isn't the difference. You could have thought it's a difference. You could have differentiated that way. But the Torah is telling you is, look, a person has to be a shomer that he doesn't kill, and whether the shmirah involves using his body or it involves using a different weapon, a different tool. Is the shmirah is halachically equivalent? You don't draw that distinction. It's a potential difference, but the Torah is teaching you don't do that. Don't differentiate. Adafo, you see the way the Torah is describing the kesha. Dachol begufo means if you push him below miskaving, even though it's your body, bottom line is you didn't mean it. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful of a lot of things. It's teaching you there's no such chila. It recognizes even if they are a little different, but that's still within the realm of shogeg. You don't say that renders you kavod mezid. Even if you will argue it's quantitatively a little bit more, you know, pshia, but it's not to the point where it's recognized as a qualitatively different thing, and now you're like a boshe. That's what it's teaching you. That essentially your body and another weapon are the same shmir, same zero. So you have to be zayir with the weapon, you have to be zayir with your body. You don't differentiate and say that that's removed from being shogeg and becomes kavod mezid. Right?
Yeah.
So that's, I think, if you go with that, I think that's a good example of what we were talking about before. See, that's emerging right out of the case. It's not generic at all. It's very particular and very based upon the case itself, right?
Considering, it also makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense, you know. But, you know what I mean? It, like, comes right from the case.
Yeah.
It's like the facts are directing you exactly towards that. Directly about Dachla Gufa, as opposed to just the general, you know. Whereas this would be learning the Havminas, that would be Karov Mezid, right? That was the question. So what's the Havminas?
Yeah.
That's the Karov Mezid. The next question is like, the Ritvah seems to say, he says that it's teaching you that it's Shogeg, and it's not Anas, and it's not Mezid. So it seemed to be that from the Ritvah that he holds that there would be a Havmina both ways. Some reason it would be Avmina to say that it's kavod anas, that it's anas also. So strange, but it seems like he holds there's two Avminas, and by the Torah telling you Dachlo Begufo, it's teaching you don't say either of the sides.
Well, maybe
that's good. So as Yonah's saying is Avi getting it also, that if you'd say is like your body isn't a weapon, you're carrying a weapon, you gotta be careful. Watch out. You have a rock, you have a knife. But here you don't have any weapons, I'm just walking. So what, now I have to be careful? Right, I'd say that's not us. My body kills whoever our body's killing. But it's teaching you, no, your body is also a weapon. Your body could be a weapon like anything else could be a weapon. Such a thing as killing a person with your body. And therefore, that's not considered on us. You are chayv in shmirah. You could have argued you're chayiv and shmir more with your body. You know, if your body is a weapon, then you could have argued you're more chayiv and shmir with your body because you have more control over it. So that's why you could have argued it's kavod nezir. But you also could have argued that a body isn't even a weapon, and therefore I don't even have to have shmir at all. It's true, I have full control over it, but you don't kill bodies. It's not a weapon. It's my body. It's myself. So it's teaching you to know is that there is such a thing as killing with your body, of pushing somebody. And therefore, even though it's only, even if you're not carrying any weapons, you're just walking down the street, you also have to be shomer. Because your body is a weight, and it has the ability to push, to kill. Just like you can kill with a weapon, you kill with a body. So your body itself is subject to the shmira of a weapon. When you're walking, you have to make sure your body doesn't use it as a weapon to push someone or kill somebody. So that's what it's teaching you, is that this is a case of shmira, just like any other case. The other case in the pasuk is, it says, you throw something on him. So a kli is one thing. But his teaching is that your body is subject to shmira. First of all, it is like a weapon, and it's like any other weapon. It's not any worse than any weapon, not any better than any other weapon. It's just like either any weapon, and therefore it's shogig just like anything else. Right? That's what it's teaching. Which is interesting, right? I mean, that's really something you have to teach me. How do you tell the Torah treats? No, we know the Torah treats weapons. What about bodies? If you wanted to break it, right, line it up, you'd say, is your body viewed as a weapon altogether? And is there a din shmira altogether? So if you said it's not even a weapon, then you'd say, no, it's not. It's an anas. It's kind of anas. You just killed him without a weapon. So kamashimon, no, it is a weapon. Bodies could also kill them. But now you tell me it's a weapon, maybe I think you need a greater shmira on this, because it's a weapon that you have much greater control over. So your din is, because you're careful, your shmira, you're more responsible for it, what it does. So it's teaching you now is that it's like any other weapon, and your din shmira on that is like any other weapon. You don't say it's a greater zeros on that because I have more control over it. So it's teaching you, it's shalagig, and it's not amazing, and it's not honest. Right, but the case is where you're doing it in the lomaskafin, where your body is killing him by accident. Right, you're pushing him by accident. Right, that's the way Rashi is learning, and the Ritva is explaining. So the problem there was the Rambam. Right, the Rambam learns that if you push him with your body, you're pater, and it's karv l'mezid. It is Karl Mason. Right? So the question is, one question is, in the facts, how does Rambam get that? Because the Gemara says, Hadafo Shadachavo Begufo. You push him with your body. And it sounds like the Pasuk says, Hadafo. It sounds like the Pasuk is saying, and then you push him, and you're chai. That's the case of Galus. So how's the Rambam shoving into the Gemara and into the Pasuk that it's talking that you don't get Galus? That it's Karl Mezid. It's a nice, in theory, you give a spara, but that's the problem. Is where does the Ram get it? That's because of Mishnah's problem. Where does the Ram get it? So he kind of tries to shove into the Gemara that when it says Hadafo, that you're chayev, then the Gemara says Hadafo, that you push him with your body, it means to, because the previous Gemara said excluding the case of the corner. So he's saying there's a missing word excluding the case of pushing. Pushing with your body, like even though the Gemara says, Befesa means prat l'keren zavos, to exclude the corner. I'm sorry, below Eva prat l'sone, without hatred to exclude a hater. Hadafo, you push him shadachav gufo, you push him with your body. So he says it means hadafo also to exclude where you push him with your body. I mean, it's putting into the Gemara, which the Gemara does not have it, but he's saying maybe that's what Rambam learns. And really, it's a list of different things which are excluded, so it's excluding the case where you push them with your body. Just like Sileva excludes Sone, and the other one excludes the corner. Here, it's excluding the case of pushing him. But it's a hard force into the Gemara. But even if you want to force it into the Gemara, what about the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Hadafa, you push him. So you say, Hadafa means to exclude what you push him with your body? Yeah, you get that from the Pasuk. The Pasuk is talking about that you do push him, and it's saying is you get Galus. It's a case where you get Galus. So even if you could shove it into the Gemara, it's hard to shove into the Pasuk. Hadafo is you push him, Shadafo is Gufo. It certainly sounds like what I'm saying is you do get calls. So there's a problem altogether according to the Rambam, how he learns the Pasuk. But then there's the conceptual problem according to the Rambam, is why is it Karv Mezen? Is the Rambam learning like the Svara that we were saying for Rashi, that you have a greater chiyus of the Shemira on your body? I mean, I guess you could say that, but like, it's just funny, how is it teaching you that? If anything, it's teaching you that you don't. Alright, so you have to figure out the Rambam, and you have to figure out how it must go. We can leave this question on the Rambam for tomorrow, and also in the next question. So the next question is like this. It's really interesting as Gemara goes. It's like these like one line Havin Maskanas, you know? Yeah. Like each little problem. It's like very, very packed. Very dense.
There's so few, very little facts.
Very little facts, but they're, you know. So just good definitions though, one and out, you know? So the next Gemara says like this. Oh Hishlich Olav, or if you throw on him. Was that teaching you? It's really interesting it's amazing how the Torah wrote in a way that every word is like, you could have just said, Torah could have just said, you kill Bashoge, you go to Gauss. But it's like, it writes very, it's a lengthy description, and basically the Gemara is interpreting the lengthy description is to hone in on what exactly killing Bashoge means. Because he's like, what does it mean, kill Bashoge? It's just too vague, too general. He's supposed to, it's like in his head, reading a psychoanalyze, like, I figure out, so you have to have a very strict definition of all these things. So it's like, in describing it, it like the Torah lends itself to just a plain reading, plain pshat, and the person would read it wouldn't even notice that there's anything fancy going on. But in this plain description, which you read and you hear the Torah reading on Shabbos, you don't even notice. It just sounds nice story, and as this, he's, you know, he kills them with a rock, whatever. It's like every word is crafted to point carefully carve out for you the exact precise categories, all with all the details, all the rules, all the sigils, all the conceptual understandings of what Shohi means. It's amazing how God did that, you know, in the one book, which on the one hand reads like a plain, simple reading, but like every single word is like, each word is teaching you another conceptual hakira, you know? It's like, so far we've been doing one pasuk, every word is teaching you all another svara. You know, and we think this is the way God wrote the Torah. It's a big Torah, you know, and every Gemara has other things like that. If you just think about the unbelievable work, like there's no book like that, you know, I mean, it's crazy, you know. It's like this Gemara, you know, you get to see it, how every word is being, you know, it's like going through every word, and, you know, each word gives you a whole new, and through the combination of all the words and all these few psukim, you end up with like a whole system, you know, all encoded in like one, you know, one 10-word pasuk, you know, whatever. It's amazing. Yeah, it is amazing. But fine. So what's the teaching you? So this next word, right? Hishlich alav, you throw on him. So it says lahavi. Gemara says, sorry, I lost it. Lahavi yirido sheitzorach aliyah. It's to include a down which is for the purpose of going up, which is for a tzorach of aliyah, functioning for going up. So again, the principle is the only chayev galus when you do a derech yirida, downwards, in a downward motion, not an upward motion. So it's including if it's a downward motion for the sake of an upward motion. Rashi says, kigon harotze laharim yada b'kalach, if you want to lift your arm up with strength, the garzin biyado, and you have like an axe. Let's say you want an axe upwards. You want to hit something which is above your head with an axe, you know? So what do you do? Umashbil tchilas gufo, v'shokhalafana. So you bend down in front of you, you lower your body, you know, forward, right? V'kedei laharim b'koach, in order that you'll be able to get a good, strong upward motion. Right, so that's the way you do it. You like wind up, you build up, so you bounce or whatever, you know. So you go downward, and then you'll be able to get a good upward motion. You use your force, I guess, using your knees and your body, your muscles and your legs to help propel you upwards. So, but before you go upwards, you go down. Ubahashbalasa, and in your lowering, in your going down, harag, you kill. Delotema, don't say whole of it sarchaliyah, since the downward is really functioning for the up. It's a tzorach aliyah. It's function. It's needed for the going up. Pater migalos. Dechsev vayapel. You'd say it's pater because the Torah says vayapel means you're going down. And this isn't really down. This is really part of the going up. So it's teaching you, no, oh, hishlech alav is an extra thing, is that that's also considered going down. Even if your going down is for going up, that still counts as going down and you're still chayv. That's what it's teaching you. So I would think that that's considered going up. So Kamash Shimon is teaching you, no, that's also considered going down. And you're chayv for that also. Right? So the question is, what's the spara for the Havim, what's the spara for the Maskana? Why would I think, right? Apparently it's two different ways of conceptualizing this going down and going up thing. Right? Compelling question, right? Not clear what the spara is yet, but it's interesting, right?
When the
plainest thing is, why would I think that? I mean, you're not going up, you're going down. Right? I mean, it sounds like the simple default would have been that that's considered going up. I mean, on the surface, why is that going up? Why would I think that's going up? I'm not going up, I'm going down. So it's in order for my going up, who cares? Why would I think that? Right? It's like that's the default somehow. So you think of anything, the default would be that's down, down, down. So let's try for tomorrow both those. The Rambam on the pushing with your body, and then this, the Yuri Dalia thing. Okay, we'll see if we get to them both. But maybe we will.